Open your Bibles tonight. Look, please, if you will, at the book of Acts, chapter 17. And very pleased to be able to stand tonight in the pulpit here, Beacon Baptist. And I don't get to preach very often, but I'm always feel honored to have the opportunity and to kind of give the other side of things. You know, you get to pastor week after week, and every now and then he allows a missionary to come up here and give their side of it. And so I'm glad to be able to do that. I asked Brother Andy if I should preach on missions tonight, and he agreed that that might be a good thing to do. Well, I am a missionary, so I think it would almost be wrong if I were to come here and bring some other kind of a message. But I always love to preach on missions, and we live in a tremendous time of opportunity in our world today. There are a lot of problems that we face here in the United States, but they're nothing compared to what people are facing in other countries. But I think every now and then we need to be reminded of the literally millions of people who do not have the opportunity to hear the gospel like we do on a regular basis, to have an opportunity to have a church that's endeavoring to reach out in their community. You know, there are hundreds of people groups that are not even engaged yet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have not had so much as one person be able to get in there and spend some time trying to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, of course, also many groups of people, languages that have not even one part of the scripture that's been translated into their language. So they're really these unengaged people that need to be considered. And of course, the very reason that we have a church, if it's a New Testament church, is to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and making sure the gospel is getting out all around the world. That is our commission. And I think sometimes we possibly in our comfort, we get very satisfied, very complacent, and we forget there are a lot of people who've yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's good to have as many reminders as we can about the need of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Now, I've asked you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 17. One of the things that I do as I have the opportunity to work here stateside is try to help churches develop a greater, more passionate missionary spirit. And so any churches that I have contact with, any churches where I have an opportunity to preach, I want to do my very best from the scriptures and through my opportunity to speak to help encourage that missionary spirit. And that's what I would like to do tonight as well. A church that's does not have a missionary spirit is a church that really doesn't have Christ, because Christ, who is in us, creates in us a passion for missions. And I believe we all need that. I think we all need reminders of that. We become a little satisfied, thankful for what God has done in our own lives, but yet forgetting about those people who maybe live across the street from us or down the road or the other side of town or the next town or the next country who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I want us to look here in this passage of Scripture, and I want us to read from the book of Acts chapter 17, which really the book of Acts is a tremendous book, and I call it our textbook for missions. And I think we get a great example from the ministry of the Apostle Paul and how to accomplish our mission work. I'm looking at verse number 16. And what we're going to do, what I want us to do, is to take just a short mission trip in the book of Acts tonight, making a couple of stops with the Apostle Paul, and see if we cannot see some of the characteristics that were in his life that we hope will bleed into our own lives, and that we hope will touch us in such a way that we could have an impact for Jesus Christ on those people that we come in contact with. Verse number 16 says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city holy, given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Here we see the Apostle Paul making a stop in this great idolatrous city of Athens. What an important place that was during his day. And what a desperate need they had during his day. The thing that I want us to take away from that, we read that while Paul was waiting there, that his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And what I think we need to get from this tonight is the fact that we need this same kind of stirring in our own souls. We need the same kind of stirring in our own spirits. The stirring that caused him, as he looked out at these people that were idolatrous people. And I know a couple of weeks ago, Brother Densmore was here and he was talking about the idols that they faced there in Guatemala and the people among the Guatemalan religions, and how we have our own idols here that sometimes we forget about. But as Paul looked out in this city and saw them worshiping their idols and saw how idolatrous they were and saw how their worship had nothing to do with the one true God, it stirred him. I like that word stirred in the New Testament. I like to look at the verses of Scripture that talk about being stirred up by remembering certain things. We can be stirred by the Word of God and stirred by the preaching of God's Word and preaching of the last days. And many things can stir us. And it really kind of means to light a fire in us or to stoke up the fire in us. And I believe that's what we need. And I thank God for any opportunity I have to fan the flames a little bit, to help people have a little greater desire, a little greater passion, and a greater interest to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Well, Paul was stirred up in his heart. And we need to see the world through the eyes that Paul saw the world. Sometimes we, I think, don't see as clearly as we should see. I think sometimes we have an idea that, you know, since I'm saved and since my life is good, everything's good and everything's right in the world. Well, it's not so. There are people who need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, right in your neighborhood, perhaps even right in your home. And certainly we have people come here to our services from time to time. They need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we reach out to invite neighbors and invite friends, we need to be constantly reminded that these people could be outside of the understanding of what the gospel, what Jesus Christ can do in their lives. And so we need to see the world as the Apostle Paul saw it. We need to hear the cry of the souls of men that are dying without Jesus Christ. Men and women, boys and girls that are going out into eternity and having not heard the message of the gospel that we hear so many times. We need to recognize that their idols will not save them, that their other gods will not save them. There are people who may think they have one God. There are certainly nations of people who worship literally millions of gods. But there's only one who can save them. And they need to hear the message that Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And so we've got to continually repeat that message. We must continually recharge and rearm and revisit the necessity of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. They need to hear that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And so what does it take to stir us up to reignite the passion in our own hearts and our own souls, to be stirred as Paul was when he saw that city that was wholly given over to idolatry. What is it going to take to stir us up? You know, sometimes you'd think, well, if we are hearing the message of the inspired Word of God, that certainly ought to stir us up, and it should. What about the hearing about the millions who are without Jesus Christ and who've never heard and who are going to go out into eternity without hearing about Christ? Certainly that should stir us up. But if God's Word and His commission and His promises to us and our own salvation don't stir us up, what will it take to stir us up for Jesus Christ? Paul said that he was stirred in his spirit. And I believe we need to have that same stirring in our spirits. We need to investigate tonight. What's it going to take to stir us up? One of the things that we love to do is take people with us on mission trips. And a number of you have been able to go with us to Guatemala or to Haiti or someplace. Some of you have been to Cuba years ago with us. And to be able to go into these places and see with our own eyes and talk to the people and visit the people and visit in their homes, that's the kind of thing that stirs us up. But what is it going to take to stir us up to be able to see the world, a world that's in need of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, let's go a little bit further in this missionary journey, and let's look over, if you will, into Acts chapter 18. Just take one trip over here in Acts chapter 18 and look, if you will, in verse number 5. It says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." Here we see something else about the spirit of the Apostle Paul. We see that his spirit was pressed. What a spirit he had. When he was saved, when he met Christ there on the road to Damascus, his life was completely changed. He became a different man. He had a different goal in life. He had a different motive for living. And very shortly after that meeting on the Damascus Road, he was given his commission. Ananias explained it to him, what God wanted him to do and how God had chosen him to go and give the gospel to the Gentiles and to preach to kings and to preach in all these different places. And so what a spirit Paul grew for the cause of Jesus Christ. What a different man he became. And certainly what a blessing it was to see God working in his life as we read through the book of Acts. And when he came to this place, the Bible says that there was Silas and Timotheus, his spirit, he was pressed in the spirit. I think that we need to have that same kind of a spirit. Our spirits need to be pressed to the point of action. I think Paul's spirit was pressed to the point of action. You know, he no longer could continue going like he was going. He no longer could continue teaching and believing the same way that he believed before. He was pressed, you might say, into a point of action. He was pressed backed into a corner. And Paul could no longer sit on the sidelines. He could no longer do something else. He had to go forward. His spirit was so pressed that the Bible says he had to testify of Christ. That's what verse said. Verse 5 says he had to testify to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. I wonder how many times do we have that kind of spirit, that we feel pressed to testify that Jesus is the Christ. Another place Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." He just was not content. He could not sit still. He could not be quiet. He had to go. He had to be faithful. He had to preach. He had to witness. He had to testify. And there were times that we would have said, we probably would have even said to Paul, "Okay, enough's enough. You know, you've suffered enough. You've had enough persecution. I mean, my goodness, you've been shipwrecked. You've been snake bitten. You've been left on the side of the road for dead. You've traveled. You've been imprisoned. You've been beaten. Enough's enough. But he was still had that spirit that was pressed to testify that Jesus Christ is the Christ. Yet another place in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, realizing that souls were going to one day stand at the judgment of God. He was pressed in the spirit. He had that spirit that said, I can't stand still while there's still someone out there who has not heard the gospel. I cannot be silent. Even in his bonds, even when he was chained to a centurion, he still had that pressing spirit that caused him to want to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This was what was pressing upon his spirit. Could not be silent. He could not stay at home. He could not sit on the sidelines. He had to be out there in the forefront to do what God wanted him to do. What's pressing on you, on your spirit at this moment? We all have pressures. We all have things that come against us in life. And we might think of the care of our family. We might think about our home. We might think about our job. But is there any pressing desire in you to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jeremiah said that to preach Christ was like a fire that was shut up in his bones. And that was the pressing, the need that pressed his spirit into action. And so I say tonight, we need this kind of spirit as well. A spirit that's pressed to the point of wherever we can, wherever we are, to testify of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we feel that pressing, we feel that moving, we feel that conviction of the Spirit of God to say something, but for some reason we remain silent. For some reason we don't go to that person. For some reason we find an excuse to remain idle. Paul was pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And certainly we need to have this same kind of pressing spirit that he had in his life. Now let's go just a little bit further in our trip. Go to the next chapter in Acts chapter 19. And we read there in this passage of Scripture that says, after these things were ended, let me get my glasses on. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. And so here we see that Paul, in verse number 20 and 21, the word of God had been growing mightily. And as he saw the word of God grow, and as he saw the prevailing power of the word of God that was working there, it led him to, the Bible tells us, to purpose in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Now, in Paul's day, I believe Rome was the uttermost. I think sometimes we think of the uttermost, we think of what Brother Chung and I were talking about, where the Dinsmores were out there in Petén, in the northern part of Guatemala, where it's so isolated. But I believe really the uttermost was the ultimate place. And we know that all the roads of the world led to Rome. And we know that it was the capital, if you will, of the world. And certainly everything religious and everything diabolical and everything economical and everything material was to be found there. And somehow, through the leadership and guidance of the Spirit of God, God put it upon his heart to purpose to go to Rome. I think it was a strategy that he had. He had a certain strategy that he said, I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go over this other place. And then he said, what I want to do is I want to get to Rome. And I think we need that kind of, I think we need a strategy in our own lives and our own ministries as well. I think that too many times we just go with the flow. I think sometimes we just, you know, let's let it happen. Whatever will be. And we go with the current of things. We float along with the mainstream. Why, after all, we wouldn't want to buck the tide. We wouldn't want to do something that might draw attention to ourselves. And so much of what happens is not really planned or thought out. It just happens, and we are where we are. But that was not the Apostle Paul. He had a strategy. He had a plan and a purpose in his spirit to get to Rome. In Romans chapter number 1 and in verse number 11, he said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." His burden was to get to Rome. He planned to go to Rome. That was his plan. He prayed to go to Rome. There in Romans chapter 1, he said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." See, he planned to try to go to Rome. He prayed to try to get to Rome, and he made it a purpose in his heart that he might go there also. In verse number 13, Romans 1:13, he said, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready," he said, "to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He purposed to go to Rome, and he prepared in all that he could, his own heart and his own life, to go where God was leading him to go, and where God put it, this strategy in his spirit to try to go there. And it didn't matter to him that he didn't get to go first class there. It didn't matter to him that he had a kind of an interrupted trip, an interrupted life. It didn't matter to him. I'm sure it mattered in one sense, but he was still in this strategy, in his spirit to go, to get there. I want to get there. They bound him with the chains, and they put him beside a guard, and they arrested him, and they were going to take him there to that city. And I'm sure that that wasn't the way he thought he might get there, but yet God was working it out so that his strategy was going to get complete. But I wonder, what is your strategy for getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone in your home, to your neighbors? Do you have any kind of a strategy? Well, if I bump into them out on the fence or while I'm in the driveway, what is the strategy that you have to win those people that you work with? To win those people that you go to school with? You know, sometimes our strategy is, let's just get through the day. Let's just get through the week. Let me just get through my life, and let me make it. But I want to tell you something, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I believe that we say this very often, that the gospel has no legs of its own. And if it's going to get somewhere, we have to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul had this strategy in his spirit to go. Well, let's take one more chapter, Acts chapter 20. Look over to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 22. I want to see one other characteristic that we can look at from the Apostle Paul. Acts 20 and verse 22, he said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Do you see what I see in this passage of Scripture? Do you see how Paul was absolutely, steadfastly determined to finish the job, to finish the course, to do his ministry, to fulfill the commission that he had received from the Lord? He was bound in his spirit to continue on. He was willing to face any obstacle, any enemy, any difficulty that came in his way to do this job that God had called him to do, to fulfill the Great Commission. He did not count his life dearer than the fulfillment of his mission. I think that's the problem we have sometimes, is we count our life so dear that we don't want any inconvenience, and we don't want to risk anything that might disrupt our life, our economics, our comfort. Paul did not have that problem. He was determined to stay the course, to finish the job. And I believe we need that kind of steadfastness too in our lives. Whatever it takes. He said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20 that he wanted Christ to be magnified, whether it was by life or by death. Have we ever said something like that? He said, I just want to magnify the name of Jesus Christ wherever I go. And if it costs me my life, so be it. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So whatever it takes, he said, by life or by death, the fear of being arrested, the fear of being stoned to death, the fear of persecution, of imprisonment, none of those things moved him. We read that in Acts 20. None of these things move me, he said, neither count I my life dear to myself. He was steadfastly determined to be obedient to what was his heavenly calling. Well, how about us? Because we have that calling as well. We have, if we're believers, Christians, you say, oh, okay, sure, Pastor Blaylock and Brother Andy and Brother Sam and the others that are on staff, they have that. No, all of us as believers, we have that calling. We have the commission to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share and to testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We all have that. It's something that we're to share. And if we were busy about the Lord's work, it would be something that we could look forward to accomplishing. I think we need these characteristics in our church here at Beacon Baptist. We need the characteristics we saw in this short mission trip of the Apostle Paul. We need it among our members. We need to be stirred, always stirred, have the passion, the spirit in our spirit for missions. We need to have a spirit like his pressed into action, pressed to serve. We need to have a strategy, a plan to fulfill how we're going to know the Word of God and share the Word of God and testify and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, well, yeah, you know, our deacons are working on that. We need to know where. No, it's the responsibility of the entire church. There are no surrogates in this business. We are all responsible. And we need to have the steadfastness to finish the course that God has put us here on this earth to do. because there is a world out there that's waiting to hear the message of Jesus Christ. What are we waiting for? So I think we need to examine our own hearts here tonight. When were you last stirred to consider what Christ would have you do to get His name to the neighbor, to the people down the street, to someone across the world? When were you last stirred? What is it that moves you? What kind of spirit possesses you? What kind of heart beats within your breast? Do you have a strategy at home, at work, at school, to witness, to go? And what will it take to stop, to silence your witness for Christ? A sour look from someone? You say, well, I know they don't want me to talk about it. A slammed door in your face? Fear? We need to make decisions to have these characteristics that move the Apostle Paul into four provinces in 15 years where he could say, there's no more place in these parts where I need to preach because I have preached the gospel everywhere. With all the limitations he had and all the advancements we have, there shouldn't be any comparison. And yet I think we fall far behind in fulfilling our responsibility. And so may God speak to us, stir our hearts, press our spirits, give us a strategy and a steadfastness to serve Him more faithfully in the days ahead. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this example of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, may we not take it lightly. May we not shrug it off. May we not forget about it. May we not let other things overshadow it. But may we deal with it honestly with Your Word and Your truth in our own hearts and lives and the Spirit working on us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Magger. That was challenging and a great blessing. We appreciate your faithfulness so much. We'll see you Sunday morning. I got one question. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.